You're listening to Australia's fastest growing podcast network. This is the Lifestyle Pod Network. You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 182. And my guest on The Dream Show today is Melinda from Kansas in the US. And Melinda had a dream that was all about aliens and cupcakes, but it's what happened with the aliens and the cupcakes that makes the dream and what it means in her life so intriguing. Now, Melinda is an email guest, and as regular listeners will know, there are two types of guests on the show. Well, there are 182 unique guests on the show and more as time goes by, but there are two formats for the Dream Show. And one is that the guest is live, which means that we phone or Skype the guest and record the conversation with me hearing the dream for the first time. And we record that whole conversation of talking about the dream and get the dreamer's responses and how it relates to their life. And then there's this other format, which is today's format, which is when the guest sends in their dream by email. Now, if you want to do this, don't just send me an email. You'll find on my website at janetheresa.com, you'll find in the menu under podcast, you'll find a form to fill in if you'd like to submit a dream for the Dream Show, either by email or if you'd like to be a live guest on the show. Now, the process when you send in a dream by email, such as Melinda did, is that you send me the dream, I have a good look at it. Then the next thing that I do is I email the guest, in this case Melinda, some questions about the dream so that I can get more details about, not about Melinda and her life, but about the dream. And this is actually the same process that you go through if you consult me for an email interpretation rather than a phone consultation. Then I wait for Melinda or the guest to get back with her answers to the questions that I've posed. And then I look at that and I put together my understanding, my interpretation of the dream, what it means and how it relates to the guest's life. The next thing I do in the Dream Show is I send that interpretation again by email to the guest, to Melinda in Kansas in this case. And then the guest gets back to me again by email with her thoughts or his thoughts on the interpretation of the dream and giving more insight into how it relates to their life. So that's the process we go through, and that's a similar process to the one that you go through if you consult me by email as opposed to by phone. So just before we go into the dream and what it means, just a reminder again of the website. If you haven't been there before or you haven't been there recently, it's janetheresa.com. That's Theresa without an H. Or find me on Facebook or various other social media. Okay, Melinda from Kansas's dream. So first of all, I'll begin by reading out to you the dream that Melinda sent me. So as you listen, get a feel for yourself. What does this dream mean? Can you pick up any clues? Just sit back and listen and see what comes to you. Aliens had invaded the Earth. Other people were very accepting of them and played along with their requests and projects, believing they were friendly and here to help. But I didn't want anything to do with them. I thought they were pretending to be nice, but would later try to hurt or capture everyone. I tried to hide from them. I tried to convince my son to run away with me to the countryside and hide so we won't have to interact with all the aliens in the city. My son thinks the aliens are just fine to work with. I am afraid and distrustful at this stage, but also pleased that I managed to not interact with any of the aliens. One night, I was walking back to my office at work, and I saw a young man sitting on a chair in a hallway. He was very, very serious, and was holding a coat rack on his lap. I said hello as I walked by, but he did not respond. I noticed his serious face and piercing eyes. Then he starts to follow me, holding the coat rack like a jousting sword, and I realize he is an alien. He points the coat rack at me, and some kind of invisible ray is emitted, and I am frozen in place. I fall to the floor and feel my energy being taken from me, and also know that his weapon is scanning all my information and thoughts. I keep trying to resist. Just then, two of my co-workers walk in. The alien now has three people to deal with and turns off the weapon. I manage to crawl outside and escape. I worry that the alien will see me through the large windows as I slowly crawl by. I can see him and want to get out of his sight, but my energy is so drained I cannot move quickly. I am very frightened of being recaptured. The scene changes and I am in a room with two men, one of whom is my husband. In waking life, I know neither of these men. My husband asks the other man if he would like to stay and see the birth of our child. The man enthusiastically agrees, saying he loves to see the amazing process now possible through our advanced technology. I step up to a machine that cradles my belly. I'm not fat, nor do I look pregnant. Through advanced medicine, somehow a baby is created. I do not go through labour, and the baby is extracted and handed to me in a hard, clear, plastic container, like a rectangular cupcake holder. I see this beautiful little girl inside, moving slightly and squirming. I want to feed her and take care of her. The plastic container appears to be sealed slightly with a strip of tape. I struggle and struggle to open it, feeling anxious that the baby needs me to feed her. I finally open the lid, but I'm too late, and the baby has turned into a cupcake. I eat the cupcake. I feel a little sad that there is no baby and wonder briefly if maybe I shouldn't eat the cupcake. So that's the end of the dream. And when you submit a dream for email interpretation as a guest or for a consultation, there's a line that asks you to describe the people in the dream using three words. And she's put, there were only two people I recognised in my dream, my son and one of my co-workers. My son, hardworking, friendly, enthusiastic. My co-worker, calm, easygoing, in charge. She adds, overall, it was a frightening dream, and when I woke up, I was horrified that I'd eaten the cupcake. So you may already have some ideas about what that dream means, but I sent quite a few questions to Melinda, and I'm going to read those out to you now along with her answers. So remembering that there are many ways that I use to interpret and understand a dream, and one of the many tools and techniques and probably the most difficult to really apply is the thought that everyone and everything in a dream represents something about the dreamer. So bear that in mind as you listen to Melinda's answers to some of my questions. So with each one, think, so Melinda's now telling me something about herself, either in light or in shadow. She's telling me something about herself that's going to help us to understand this dream. So we'll read out the questions and replies, and then I'll read out to you my interpretation of the dream. Before I read out these questions, I should also say that this in itself is a technique to apply when you're looking at your own dreams. You know, either yourself or get someone you know who's interested enough to do this with you to look through your dream and ask you questions. Now, some of the questions are obvious questions to ask, and some of them are not really so obvious. And sometimes it's with those not really so obvious questions that you just feel inclined to ask that the meaning of the dream pops out, that things become quite clear. So there's magic in choosing, or I guess there's wisdom and magic in choosing the questions to ask. But we'll start with some obvious questions. What did the aliens look like? Melinda said, the aliens look just like regular people. What kind of requests and projects did the aliens ask people to do? Melinda said, I don't remember specifically what the projects were, but they acted very friendly and were charismatic, so that people wanted to work with them. They approached people with the ideas and asked if the people would help, or if they saw someone working, they would approach and offer to help them get it done. I asked, when you thought in the dream about the aliens hurting and capturing everyone, did you have any thoughts about their purpose? Why might they want to capture everyone? What would they do with them? They were pretending to be nice so they could gain people's trust and then turn on them and destroy them. They wanted to rule the world and dominate everyone. I asked, in the first paragraph of the dream you were trying to hide. Can you remember where or how you were trying to hide? Melinda said, I recognized the aliens even when those around me did not. I hid by avoiding them, leaving the area or room when one started approaching. I also hid in my room under my desk at one point. The room was dark and I hoped no one could see me. That was when I wanted to escape and go to the countryside because the city was getting so full of aliens it was getting harder for me to avoid them. I asked, how do you feel about cities like the city the aliens invaded in the dream? It was my home where family and friends are, but it also felt a little dark and murky, like the sun never shone, always half dark. I liked it, but felt like it was no longer safe to be there. I asked, how did you feel about the countryside? Melinda said, it felt like it was wide open space, a place to be free, but also that I would have to live in open fields, cornfields or similar places. I wouldn't have my own home, but it wasn't crowded with aliens and people who were being deceived by aliens. I would have to have survival skills to live there and wouldn't have friends around to help. Was the office in the dream your office in waking life? And if not, can you describe it a little? Did you have the feeling the work was the same as your waking life work? Melinda said, in waking life, I work at a university. This office was on a university campus, and I knew I worked there doing the same work I do in waking life. But I do not recognize the building from waking life, and I did not reach my office in the dream. How old, your gut feel, how old was the young man holding the coat rack? She said, the man in the hallway holding the coat rack was about 30. He had on a plaid work shirt, something I associate with country. Please describe the coat rack. The coat rack was made of brown wood, not fancy, but it was smoothly sanded and varnished, kind of thick and chunky looking wood. What's your earliest memory of a coat rack? I don't remember one in my home when I was a small child, but when I was a teenager, we had a wooden one similar to the one in my dream. It stood in the hallway by the front door. Where are there coat racks in your life now? A metal modern one is in my current home, no coat racks at work. Do you use a coat rack in waking life? What do you hang on it? I use my coat rack to hang my jackets, coats and an umbrella. I use it every day in the cold months especially. You mentioned two co-workers but only describe one under people in the dream. Can you give three words for the second? If the second was a dream character, can you describe the personality as you perceived it in the dream? Melinda said, the second co-worker was a dream character I do not know in waking life. He seemed cheerful and talkative, but a little anxious about how the head of department perceived him. The other co-worker is head of the department in waking life. I would describe him as proper, fashion conscious, and one who carries and wields his authority gently. The dream character wanted to behave properly and make a good impression while still appearing like a casual friend just walking down the hallway. I asked if the two co-workers were male or female, and Melinda said they were male. Now, here's a question that you might not think to ask, but it occurred to me, and it was quite a pivotal question. Why do you think the alien turned off his weapon once he had three people to deal with? Melinda said, good question. It may have been because he didn't want word to get out that he was an alien and an enemy to be dealt with. He wanted to get his victims individually, and I had the feeling he could not deal with more than one person at a time. The scene changed to the room. Can you describe the room or the energy feeling you got from the room? The room felt like it was modern, lots of stainless steel, brushed silver colour, modern medical technology on the wall, white marble floors, shiny, clean, lots of light and pleasant. After the scene changed, did you still feel any threat of aliens or had they disappeared? Melinda said no, thankfully, it felt safe. I asked, even though they were dream characters, can you describe the personalities or energies of the two men, one being your dream husband in this scene? What did you feel about them in the dream? How did you perceive them? My husband and the other man, both dream characters, my husband seemed fun-loving, intelligent, spontaneous, and quirky. The other man seemed easygoing, mild, and also intelligent. Were you surprised that you were going to have a child? I was very surprised I was going to have a child. How did you feel when the machine cradled your belly? Melinda said, curious, interested. Did you feel anything during the creating and extraction process? I felt nothing during the creation and extraction process. Can you describe the cupcake that the baby turned into? Melinda said, I think it may have been a red velvet cupcake. Do other countries have this kind? I'm not a fan in real life, not even sure if I've ever had a red velvet cake, but I think it's a rich chocolate that for some reason has a reddish colour. I asked, do you like cupcakes? Not really. I'm not a fan of cake in general, although I can eat it to be polite. And I really don't like thick frosting. It's too rich, sweet and gooey, which is a side note because I don't think the cupcake had frosting. When do you eat cupcakes? Rarely. Occasionally one of my students brings me one and I will eat it to be polite. Or I sometimes make chocolate cream cheese cupcakes with chocolate chips in them to take to a dinner or gathering, and I really like them. I really just eat the cream cheese and chocolate chip filling and throw the chocolate cake part away. Otherwise, I basically live cupcake free. I asked, what's the personality of a cupcake? Melinda said, sweet, maybe too sweet, sticks together, but can also crumble easily under pressure. Cheerful. Also a little on the childish side, innocent and optimistic. And my last question was, how do you feel in waking life after you've eaten a cupcake? Melinda said, they're so pretty to look at, but I don't really want to eat one. Did I really need that? No more. One is almost more than I can handle. They are too sweet and I don't like the texture. In my dream, though, I didn't feel that way. I immediately put my fork into the cupcake and enjoyed it. About three quarters of the way through, I remembered that the container had held a baby, which seemed to have turned into the cupcake I was enjoying. Then I wondered if I should be eating it. So hopefully you've been thinking, that's interesting. That's giving lots of insight into Melinda already, given that everyone and everything in a dream represents something about the dreamer. And if you're astute, which I'm sure you were, you would have also noticed some recurring themes there. Particularly, I'll point out one to you there about eating the cupcakes when Melinda says one's usually more than enough. And think back to the scene in the dream where the alien was confronting Melinda and suddenly there were three people and he put his weapon down because it was too many. He could only confront one at a time. So that's one of many things to look at. But the next thing to do, which I'll do and which you can do with a dream if you've asked yourself these questions and you found your answers, is you then rewrite the dream, putting the answers into the dream. So what your answers are doing is really filling out more feeling about the symbols in the dream or the people in the dream or the landscape in the dream, giving more texture and description and getting closer to home about the meaning of the dream. So I'm going to read the original dream, but with the answers put back in, not verbatim, but put back in to, you know, make it sound interesting enough a read. So here we go. And then after this, I'll read you the interpretation. But as you listen to this, you'll get more clues yourself about what Melinda's dream means and how it probably relates to her life. Aliens, who looked just like regular people, had invaded the Earth. Other people were very accepting of them and played along with their requests and projects, believing they were friendly and here to help. I don't remember specifically what the projects were, but they acted very friendly and were charismatic so that people wanted to work with them. They approached people with the ideas and asked if the people would help, or if they saw someone working, they would approach and offer to help them get it done. But I didn't want anything to do with them. I thought they were pretending to be nice, but would later try to hurt or capture everyone. They were pretending to be nice so they could gain people's trust and then turn on them and destroy them. They wanted to rule the world and dominate everyone. I tried to hide from them. I hid by avoiding them, leaving the area or room when one started approaching. I also hid in my room under my desk at one point. The room was dark and I hoped no one could see me. I tried to convince my hard-working, friendly, enthusiastic son to run away with me to the countryside and hide so we won't have to interact with all the aliens in the city. The countryside would be a wide-open space, a place to be free, but I would have to live in open fields, cornfields or similar places. I wouldn't have my own home, but it wouldn't be crowded with aliens and people who were being deceived by aliens. I would have to have survival skills to live there and wouldn't have my friends around to help. The city was getting so full of aliens, it was getting harder for me to avoid them. My son thinks the aliens are just fine to work with. I am afraid and distrustful at this stage, but also pleased that I managed to not interact with any aliens. One night I was walking back to my office at work and I saw a young man sitting on a chair in the hallway. He was about 30. He had on a plaid work shirt, something I associate with country. He was very, very serious and was holding a coat rack on his lap. The coat rack was made of brown wood. Not fancy, but it was smoothly sanded and varnished, kind of thick and chunky looking wood. When I was a teenager, we had a wooden one similar to the one in my dream. It stood in the hallway by the front door. I said hello as I walked by, but he did not respond. I noticed his serious face and piercing eyes. Then he starts to follow me, holding the coat rack like a jousting sword, and I realize he is an alien. He points the coat rack at me and some kind of invisible ray is emitted and I am frozen in place. I fall to the floor and feel my energy being taken from me and also know that his weapon is scanning all my information and thoughts. I keep trying to resist. Just then two of my male co-workers walk in. One, a dream character, is cheerful and talkative, but a little anxious about how the head of department perceived him. He wanted to behave properly and make a good impression. The other, the head of department, is proper, fashion conscious, and one who carries and wields his authority gently. The alien now has three people to deal with and turns off the weapon. He didn't want word to get out that he was an alien and an enemy to be dealt with. He wanted to get his victims individually, and I had the feeling he could not deal with more than one person at a time. I managed to crawl outside and escape. I worry that the alien will see me through the large windows as I slowly crawl by. I can see him and want to get out of his sight, but my energy is so drained I cannot move quickly. I am very frightened of being recaptured. The scene changes and I am in a room with two men, one of whom is my husband. In waking life, I know neither of these men. The room felt like it was modern, lots of stainless steel, brushed silver colour, modern medical technology on the wall, white marble walls, shiny, clean, lots of light and pleasant. My husband, fun-loving, intelligent, spontaneous and quirky, asks the other man, who is easygoing, mild, also intelligent, if he would like to stay and see the birth of our child. The man enthusiastically agrees, saying he loves to see the amazing process now possible through advanced technology. I was very surprised I was going to have a child. I step up to the machine that cradles my belly. I was curious, interested. I am not fat, nor do I look pregnant. Through advanced medicine, somehow a baby is created. I do not go through labour. I felt nothing during the creation and extraction process, but the baby is extracted and handed to me in a hard, clear, plastic container like a regular cupcake holder. I see this beautiful little girl inside, moving slightly and squirming. I want to feed her and take care of her. The plastic container appears to be sealed slightly with a strip of tape. I struggle and struggle to open it, feeling anxious that the baby needs me to feed her. I finally open the lid, but I'm too late, and the baby has turned into a cupcake. I eat the cupcake. Usually one cupcake is almost more than I can handle. They are too sweet and I don't like the texture. I can eat them to be polite. In my dream, though, it didn't feel that way. I immediately put my fork into the cupcake and enjoyed it. The cupcake didn't have the rich, sweet and gooey thick frosting cupcakes usually have. I really don't like thick frosting. About 3/4 of the way through, I remembered that the container had held a baby, which seemed to have turned into the cupcake I was enjoying. I feel a little sad that there is no baby and wonder, briefly, if maybe I shouldn't eat the cupcake. So hopefully you've got more clues now, and if not, here's the interpretation. So these are the words that Melinda received before she responded. Interpretation. You are beginning to realise that there are times in your life where you have pretended to be nice, perhaps even sweetly nice, playing along, anxious to make a good impression. You may have felt that it was right to be polite, regardless of how you felt. Now you are beginning to see being nice and polite as potentially harmful to yourself, and you are also distrusting others who are nice and polite. You are generally hard-working, friendly, and enthusiastic, but feel uncomfortable when you distrust the motives of others. You're conflicted about recognizing when people are being genuinely nice, friendly, and helpful, and when they have an agenda of dominating you. You have been surviving recently by avoiding interacting with people whose intentions you distrust, but it's becoming increasingly challenging to keep up the avoidance. Your feelings of distrust are based on your past experience, especially during your teenage years, represented by the wooden coat rack in the dream that was like the wooden coat rack in the hallway of your home when you were a teenager. The coat rack may represent the juncture between the family and the outside world. It's where you hang your coat when you come in, or put on your coat as you go out. As a teenager, did you feel that someone tried to invade your thoughts, keep close tabs on you, over-discipline you, and require you to be nice and polite and not to express your true feelings? In short, did you feel that someone dominated you and the way you interacted with the world? Looking back now as an adult, you access a memory of shock. You're frozen in fear, feeling your energy being taken from you by this domination, despite trying to resist. It's as if you alienated the shock and alienated your natural teenage feelings, to some extent even now in adulthood, being frozen in place by politeness, the words you use to describe this part in your dream. Did you become very serious as a result? Do you sometimes overanalyze, scanning your thoughts, perhaps looking for traces of not being nice and polite, yet at the same time trying to resist doing this because it drains your energy? Has being nice and polite created conflict for you around authority? In the dream, you see the aliens as out to dominate, an extreme form of authority that the dream shows you try to avoid. You describe one of the co-workers in the dream as one who carries and wields his authority gently. How do you carry and wield your authority? Might you have such a fear of being seen as dominating that you're overly nice and polite in the way you carry your authority? Who gave you this fear of dominating? You also describe the co-worker as fashion conscious, which may tie in with the symbol of the coat rack, a place to hang clothes. You also describe him as proper. I guess by proper you mean well-mannered and polite. So that coat rack may symbolize the way you portray yourself, like the clothes you wear, the image you project, as proper, nice and polite, and cautious about how you show your authority. You described the other co-worker as anxious about how he was perceived and wanting to behave properly, which again emphasizes the theme of conflict over how to portray yourself and how much of behaving properly is pretense, perhaps not to be trusted. The dream aliens you distrust represent the part of yourself that behaves properly, that is nice, polite, and perhaps sweet, that is putting on a pretense or image because you are anxious about how you are perceived. You fear exercising authority because you fear being seen as dominating. This relates back to your teenage years. Your quest is how to be authentic, genuinely friendly, and loving in your interactions, and fearless of allowing a natural, caring, mature sense of authority to blossom. You saw the coat rack wielding alien in the dream as being about 30 and wearing a plaid shirt that you associate with country. Have you been trying to keep this fear of dominating authority at bay for about 30 years? You say you associate the country with being open and free. Have you been trying to avoid being open and free for fear of how you may be perceived? You mentioned that the alien put down his weapon when confronted by three people because he couldn't deal with more than one person at a time. Do you feel easier about your authority in a group situation than in dealing with just one person? In the final scene, there are no aliens and you feel safe. You're in touch with a sense of surprise, fun, spontaneity, quirkiness, and easygoing intelligence, and you're curious to see what might result. There's still a sense of the technical or pristine analytical, but you're getting in touch with your feelings, the cradling of the belly. The beautiful baby girl represents this energy that you can feed and nurture and grow. And your quest is to free her from the plastic in which she is encased, in the same way that your quest is to free yourself from the plastic of being nice and polite in certain situations. You are so close to doing this, you are struggling to open it. You see cupcakes as something you eat to be polite, and also as being sweet. At the end of your dream, you're enjoying the cupcake rather than being polite, and you notice that it is less sweet. So the end of the dream sees you doing something you're enjoying rather than being polite and sweet. Maybe the baby girl is being fed and cared for after all. You are looking after yourself. Note that you describe cupcakes as one is almost more than I can handle, which brings us back to the alien who could only handle one person at a time and the question of how you feel with authority in groups versus one person at a time. Finally, how much does your description of the personality of a cupcake describe you when you try to be nice and polite? Sweet, maybe too sweet. Sticks together, but can also crumble easily under pressure. Cheerful, also a little on the charger's side, innocent and optimistic. So there was one other thing that I sent Melinda along with my interpretation, and it was a dream alchemy. So it's very quick. I'll read you the dream alchemy before we go to Melinda's response. So for those of you that aren't familiar with dream alchemy, it's basically a process where you take a symbol or a feeling or a theme from the dream and you rewrite it, either as a visualization or an affirmation or a something to do, which this one is, or body work or all sorts of things, or artwork. And the point of doing this is that you're working with a symbol that your unconscious mind has thrown up. And the object of the dream alchemy is to transform the symbol. And in doing that, you're transforming beliefs in your unconscious mind that need to transform. So this is the dream alchemy practice that I suggested for Melinda. Think up the ingredients for a cupcake that you would enjoy. Be creative. For example, spicy ginger in place of sweet sugar. Something quirky in place of common flour. A message on the cupcake wrapper that is heartfelt, not coming from a place of nice and polite, but from a place of authentic, caring, nurturing authority. Draw the cupcake, its message clearly shown on the wrapper, alongside a list of its ingredients. You may wish to extend the alchemy by visualizing cradling the baby from the end of your dream while reading her a story about the new cupcake. So after a few days, which is what I recommend for people to sit with an interpretation, Melinda got back to me with this. Hello, Jane Teresa. I'm truly amazed at the accuracy of this interpretation. Flabbergasted is a good word, even though I shouldn't be, because I've been listening to you for years and know how good you are. But bringing it to my own life situation is quite different than listening to others' dreams and interpretations. How do I put this into words? I have been going to a therapist for the past 6 months who has been helping me to realize emotional patterns and connecting them to the emotion as sensation in my body and then allowing it to be felt and released. I feel I have been working through some long-held patterns, one of which is exactly what you said. I tried to be too nice, too aware of how to please the person I'm with, that I do not recognize or talk about my own needs or wishes. I am anxious to make a good impression, to be sweet and kind, but I stuff down my own feelings. I have just recently started to speak up about what I really want, especially in my relationship with a long-term boyfriend who is quite outspoken and can be quite strong and overbearing at times. This dream happened after a very big disagreement which we had, in which I definitely stood up for myself and didn't cave into him by trying to be nice for the sake of keeping the peace. There are so many details you mention in this interpretation and I relate to them all. Yes, I prefer being an authority one-on-one rather than in large groups. I am a piano teacher and I'm quite comfortable giving instructions that way. But recently I have been called upon to fill in several times as a teacher for some of the choirs that I accompany, and I've actually found that I'm getting more and more comfortable leading groups as well. For years I have carried the fear of being disliked and being perceived as mean by the students if I'm not really sweet and nice. But then no real transmission of knowledge occurs if I'm just trying to be sweet. You said, I guess by proper you mean well-mannered and polite, so that coat rack you may symbolize the way you portray yourself, like the clothes you wear, the image you project, as proper, nice and polite, and cautious about how you show your authority. So very true, and I'm hoping to continue the process of breaking free and being more genuine. I need to think about the teenage years, as you mentioned. I do not have a specific memory of being frozen by domination, but perhaps the strict church atmosphere I was part of played into it. No dancing, no makeup, no movies, etc. It was not the church of my family upbringing, but my choice along with two of my brothers. It felt kind of daring to go against my father's religion and be part of this somewhat controversial group of Christians. Not that my father put up any kind of fuss about it. He let us choose if and where we wanted to go to church. But it was a lot stricter than my parents' church in most ways. My older brother, though, was really dominating in the youth group, and I may have felt frozen by that. I felt like he was the epitome of a good Christian, fiery, outspoken, black and white in his thinking, telling people they were sinners and not pleasing God, very bold and brash, knocking on doors telling people they needed to be saved. I knew I could never be like him, and didn't really want to be, but somehow, because of that, I didn't measure up. I didn't agree with many things, but never said anything. You said, have you been trying to keep this fear of dominating authority at bay for about 30 years? You say you associate the countryside with being open and free. Have you been trying to avoid being open and free for fear of how you might be perceived? Yes, I have been trying to avoid being open and free for many years for fear of how I might be perceived. I still feel this way quite a bit, especially in my interactions with my parents and two brothers who were with me in that strict church. I'm so glad to hear that the latter part of the dream is hopeful. I can still recall the energy of the love I felt for that baby girl in the plastic cupcake holder and my yearning to set her free and help her grow. And you are correct. I ate the cupcake because I wanted to, not to be polite. I'm looking forward to doing the dream alchemy and including the dream baby in the story. Thank you so very, very much. I am so grateful. And then Melinda sent an email a few days later. Hi, Jane Teresa again. I reread my message and feel I skimmed over a quite important thing. This dream happened the night of a huge blow-up with my boyfriend. I was so angry that I was sure I was going to sell my house, move somewhere that is closer to my children, and leave him for good. We have not had an easy relationship, and I am starting to think, with my therapist's help, that in my attempt to be so nice all the time, that I have put up with way too much disrespectful behaviour, and at times definitely abusive behaviour from him. My decision to go to the therapist is as a direct result of the agony and confusion I feel in my relationship. I'm still not settled with my boyfriend, but I'm noticing changes in my own behaviour, both with him and with others I interact with almost daily. I feel like I'm starting to recognise my own feelings and what I want, and I'm speaking up, even if I think it might cause an unpleasant reaction from the other person. I desperately want to get myself loose from the patterns of, I'm so sweet and nice and proper, I must be perceived by others as sweet, you just do whatever and I will still be sweet and nice. I want it so badly I can almost taste it, like I tasted the cupcake. I hope I am getting closer to being authentic in my authority, and who cares if people think I'm sweet and proper. Thank you so much, Melinda. So there we go, I don't think I need to add any more comments. I think there you have it, the dream, the interpretation, the dream alchemy and the potential of what that's going to offer Melinda in helping her accelerate the changes that she's already making. And Melinda's very detailed and beautifully clearly written response to the interpretation, how it relates to her life. And of course, it's not always just saying, oh, that interpretation does relate to my life. It's having deep insight as a result. So it's really, yes, that is amazing. I can see that dream relates to my life. And now for the first time, I realize this, that, and the other. So I think it can sometimes come across as, oh, it's really amazing that a person can interpret a dream and divine what is happening in a person's life. And it is, but the important and helpful thing to the dreamer or to yourself if they're doing this with you, is to get something from that, to get new insight into yourself and particularly into how your unconscious mind works, or into discovering patterns that have been with you for a long time, patterns of behavior or patterns of thinking or patterns of being that are no longer serving you well and in fact may actually be being harmful to you. And then being empowered through a process of awareness and doing dream alchemy to make those changes. Thank you for listening to yet another episode of The Dream Show. Remember, you can also go to janetheresa.com if you want to listen to all the other episodes of The Dream Show and all future ones. You can also always get the last 10 episodes of The Dream Show on iTunes. You'll also find at janetheresa.com hundreds of blogs about dreams and dreaming. And there are my paperback books and my ebooks, which you can buy at the site, and many ways in which you can consult me by phone or by email. And lots of other interesting stuff too. I hope you'll go and enjoy, or find me on Facebook. And if you'd like to be a guest on The Dream Show, please go to the menu at janetheresa.com, go to podcasts, and you'll find on the drop down box there, be a guest on The Dream Show. And you can volunteer to be a guest by email, such as Melinda has done, or by phone or Skype, and actually be heard talking and discussing your dream, as some of the other guests do on some of the other episodes. The next episode of The Dream Show, episode 183, will be released on October the 14th, 2016, in real time. But of course, we'll be up there for however long we continue to do this show, which we have no intention of stopping at all at the moment. And we've been going since 2009. Have a wonderful month. I know I'll be speaking to some of you in private consultation between now and then. And otherwise, sweet dreams, but not too sweet and nice, okay? I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.
The Dream Show is a production of Jane Teresa Anderson for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one in the Lifestyle Pod Network section of iTunes.